as a political philosophy which has brought about the state of Israel, the so-called state of Israel. This political philosophy has nothing to do with religion. On the contrary, it seeks to confuse others and let them think that Zionism and Judaism is one and the same. I am a conscious African. I know properly my history. I know that Africa gave Judaism to the world. I know that the first Jews in the world were Africans. Not only do I know this, but I inform everyone who has doubts about it to read a book by Sigmund Freud entitled Moses and Monotheism as a Beginning. Consequently, I know that Judaism and Zionism are not the same. Zionism had its first organizational expressions in 1897 in Basel, Switzerland, in Europe. Here was a man by the name of Theodor Herzl, H-E-R-Z-L. He was the founder of Zionism. He said that he was going to find the state that God promised the Jews. Listen to this very carefully. This man, Herzl, was an atheist. He believed that there was no God. He said God did not exist. Now, how is it that a man who believes that God does not exist is going to find a state that God promised to his chosen people? I tell you, this man is Satan in disguise. Zionism is a satanic movement. It is devil. It is imperialism. It is racist. It has gone and taken the lands of the Palestinian people and through terrorism has driven them out. And through terrorism, it maintains its power. And the United States of America, with over 6 million homeless, sends to Israel billions and billions and billions of dollars everywhere to bomb Palestinian people while homeless people are here and unemployed are here. Zionism is going to raise this war and make the people of America become clear to what it is and become anti-Zionist and stop the aid to Israel and use the money to take care of the homeless in this country.
Saturday, February 24th, 2024. Thank you for joining me today. Yeah, today's show is definitely going to ruffle some feathers. Nazism and Zionism, the real story. That's one element of it. We played this for you, but this is an old corporate media report discussing this, right? The transfer agreement, how they made a deal with Nazis to be able to move themselves into what was Palestine at the expense of Palestinians, and bring all of their assets from Germany. All right, so you had the European extremists who wanted to take this territory over here and get out of the way and keep funding and working, or rather just, you know, supporting and working with Nazi Germany. But as long as they got to take all their assets. That's the real point here.
Live on Channel 5, this is the 10 o'clock news with Deborah Norville.
Coming out revealing secret negotiation between the Nazis and the Zionists in 1933. Which allowed German Jews and their assets to go to Palestine. Rich Samuels joins us tonight with the story of the controversy behind the book and the author's struggle to write it. Rich?
Deborah, with the rise of Adolf Hitler to power in the spring of 1933, the Jews of the world were faced with a dilemma. They could raise a cry of protest, a cry few would heed, or they could make a deal with Hitler. A deal that would bring a step closer their dream of an independent Jewish state.
American Jews marched calling for the boycott of all German exports.
How can you call it a Jewish state in that sense if what you're literally talking about is working with the very person and the very actions that you pretended was the reason it became necessary? I mean, it's just wild to me how obvious this is.
Jews throughout Europe echoed that call. So did Jews everywhere. But a group of Zionists at the same time was quietly negotiating an agreement with the Nazis to allow the immigration of German Jews and the transfer of their assets to Palestine.
You see, and here's the crux of the point. There were Jews around the world were speaking out, but the Zionist elements were trying to align themselves. At that same moment, as long as they got their assets and their money and their status moved over into Palestine and the illegal occupation. So that right in there, you can obviously see that Zionists didn't represent all of Jews. In fact, they were diametrically counter to what they were screaming about. And all they did was work with the group they later used to point at for their entire existence to say that that's why they need to exist. The very group they've worked with, aligned with. I mean, it really continues to blow my mind how this is not discussed. And I, right now, am being called anti-Semite simply for acknowledging this reality.
That deal, reported in August 1933, was the transfer agreement. Palestine, sparsely settled by Jews at the time, was radically changed as a result.
I lived in Palestine from 1933 to 1936, and we saw
Palestine
every week, transports of German Jews coming to settle in Palestine.
German Jewish settlement of Palestine was, for a time, official Nazi policy. These photos of Jewish life in Palestine, along with a lengthy text, appeared in 1934. In the Berlin paper, Der Angriff. A Nazi Visits Palestine was the title of the multi-part series. A medal was struck by Goebbels in commemoration. On one side, the swastika. On the other, the Star of David. Hitler demanded one concession for the transfer agreement, that the call for a boycott of the Reich, raised by Jews here and elsewhere, be rejected by the Zionists. The Zionists made that concession. And so, while Nazis were marching in Germany, and while Jews were marching here, diplomacy was running a more important story. In the Mediterranean, where the dream of a nation-state for Jewish people came a step closer to reality. The story in this book some will find hard to accept.
So you've never been told what the origin of Nazi is. NA is National Socialism, which was the German Nazis. And in 1923, there was a double agent who came to Hitler, and he said to Hitler, look, your Nazi party is not, your National Socialist Party is not getting off the ground. You need an alliance. And he suggested that they ally with the Zionist Party. So the NA of National Socialism joined with the Zionist Party in the World Zionist Party in 1923, and ever after was known as the Nazis, NAZI. The ZI was for Zionists, but of course no one knew that, because our popular mythology is that the terrible Nazis were attacking the Jews. But what we were never told is there was a great schism in the Jewish community of the world between the Zionists and the non-Zionists. You see, the non-Zionists were the Orthodox Jews who believed you could not have a Jewish state until the Jewish Messiah came. They didn't acknowledge Christ as Messiah, so they were waiting for their own Jewish Messiah to come. Then you would have a Jewish state.
And this is where the Zionists stepped in and act and argue that they somehow knew that this area that was given by Britain was supposed to be what God said, and over time convinced Jewish people to think that that was what God wanted. I mean, and this is why the Orthodox Jews of the world in many communities are screaming about how this is a bastardization of Judaism.
The state would rule the world. But the Rothschilds in 1828 decided they couldn't wait for the Jewish Messiah. So they started what they called Reform Judaism under Moses Hess. And Reform Judaism said, yes, you can have a Jewish state before the Messiah comes. And the reason you could have it was the Rothschilds had made so much money, they said, we'll buy our own state. So the Rothschilds sent people out to the Middle East to have Jewish settlements, and which is today the state of Israel, totally created by the Rothschild money. And so Reform Judaism then became the cause of a great schism between Orthodox Jews and Reform Jews. Now, no one has ever told you this, I'm sure, but...
And the point is that the governments of the world have sided with the Zionist elements of this the entire time, which has driven the popular opinion over to this when, you know, and again, as usual, like we're talking about the Palestinians not being given a voice or anybody else, the establishment system just drowns it out, ignores their cries for how that's not what we believe, that's not what we really are. And I'll play a couple clips like that of Jews speaking up today, saying, how dare you act like you represent me, you know? But if that's how this works. It's in every topic we can see.
You think that the Jewish community is monolithic. In fact, it's split sharply down the middle. But even today, they have riots in the Jewish parliament between the Orthodox Jews and the Reform Jews. And they cannot agree on anything because the basic premise is a fundamental disagreement over whether a Jewish state should even exist today. So in Germany,
isn't it crazy that that's something that goes on in their parliament? But we don't even hear this stuff. We're told the exact opposite. That's a controlled flow of information.
In 1923, the German Jews were quite prosperous and quite happy, and they were not interested in becoming Zionists. And they were not interested in going to Palestine. After all, they had beautiful mansions in Germany. They had symphony orchestras, they had art, they had everything. And they were accepted in the community. As Ezra Pound said, Germany was the least anti-Jewish country in Europe. When you went over into Poland and Russia, you had very strong feeling against Jews. But in Germany, they were accepted and happy. So why would you ever have an anti-Jewish government in Germany? And of course, Hitler, allying himself with the Zionists, he said, after all, you're right. He said, we have the same goals. And so he allied with the Zionist party. And the mission of the Nazis was to force the anti-Zionist Jews to accept Zionism. And this is what the concentration camps were about. They put the anti-Zionist Jews in the concentration camps, and they were placed under the direct administration of the Sonderkommandos, who were the Zionist Jews. So the concentration camps were run by the Zionist Jews in order to punish and get rid of the anti-Zionist Jews, which they did. And of course, that's a part of the Holocaust that you're never told, that this was a fundamental Jewish disagreement, which the German people, that Daniel Goldhagen wrote a book in which he said all Germans cooperated in their anti-Jewish feeling and the Holocaust, which was not true at all. The Germans did not even know what was going on, most of them. It's just like in the United States, when we were perfecting the atomic bomb and bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the American people knew nothing about it. It was forbidden to mention the atomic bomb. I was serving in the Air Force at that time. We never heard of any atomic mission or atomic bomb until the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. So you could say the American people are guilty of the greatest atrocity, the dropping of the atomic bomb on Japanese civilians. But that isn't true. The American people knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about it in the Air Force. And I was right there. So these things go on without the knowledge of the people or the approval of the people. But of course, they have to accept the results. These things happen, and you're stuck with it. So this is the real story of Zionism, that the Nazis... So then, well, if the Nazis had allied with Zionists, why didn't the Nazi Party survive? Well, what happened was, in 1945, after the German military was defeated, they brought in the German leaders, the German generals, at the Nuremberg trials, tried and convicted and executed them. They had to execute them because they didn't want them around to testify that the about the alliance between the Nazis and the Zionists. So they had to die, and they were executed for that reason. Because they told about the atrocities that the German generals had committed. But German generals are like any other generals. They don't really commit atrocities. The troops under their command may commit atrocities, but they don't commit any atrocities themselves. These German generals didn't go around shooting Jews or anybody else. But they were executed, and so the Zionist secret was safe. That and now the Zionists were now in command of the world, because their National Socialist allies were now gone from history, and the Zionists had a free reign, so they set up the State of Israel. And in fact, some Jews themselves even claim that there should be a statue to Adolf Hitler in Israel, because he created the State of Israel, which is absolutely true. Without Adolf Hitler, Israel would not exist. The Jews would still be dispersed, and they would have no country. But George Steiner, a very famous Jewish writer, proposed this about 10 years ago. He said, why don't they put up a statue to Adolf Hitler in Israel? Well, they're not likely to. And because there again, the big job of the criminals is to keep the truth from the people. They want, not only do they want you not to find out anything, but they flood you with disinformation. Most of the stuff that you get in the press is absolute lies. And if it's not lies, it's spin or distortions. In other words, they give you 10% of the truth, and the rest is all distortions. And they demonize people so that you're filled with anger against the Holocaust people who murdered all the Jews in Germany. And people do get very angry because of these things, and they don't even know what they're angry about because they're not told the facts, and never will be told the facts, because the press is totally in the hands of the bankers.
And what's important right there is just to realize that, you know, good people with good hearts who believe they're fighting for good things get wrapped up in that, right? And they get driven by the same kind of emotional manipulation you're seeing on display right now every 10 seconds about whatever they're talking about. In regard to Gaza, October 7th, I mean, it's just nonstop. And so people get lost. They get manipulated. Let's watch a clip from the 90s where he discusses something that I'll literally prove to you with source material after you hear his statement. The ADL was caught faking Nazi marches. Same thing I think is happening today.
You may remember in February 1979, there was a big uproar. because someone by the name of James Gutman applied for a permit to lead a march of Nazis through downtown Philadelphia. Now, eventually, some enterprising reporters did an investigation. You know what they turned up? James Gutman was none other than Mordecai Levy, who worked with the Anti-Defamation League and later split off that to form the Terrorist Jewish Defense League. This was an operation that was run by the ADL. They wanted to have a Nazi march in Philadelphia. Why? Because how can they raise money to justify their existence if American Jews don't think there's a lot of anti-Semitism? So what better thing to do than to slap swastikas on a couple of people, leave them on a march through town, and then the next day the ADL comes marching in and says, look, there are Nazis on the streets, you need to give us money so we can protect you. And then, on top of that, have a tax-exempt status. This was not a one-time operation.
This was from Biological Medicine, who posted this on Rumble anyway. So let's talk about that, right? Is there any merit to those allegations? Well, first of all, this is on the Jewish Telegraphic Agency talking about this discussion, and doesn't get into the Mordecai Levy point, right? But let's see what this has to say. Nazi march turns out to be hoax. So this was just the public conversation before you even getting into the overlap of how it might have been a like action from somebody pretending to be somebody else. It simply says a series of events suggesting a hoax against the local Jewish community came to an abrupt end last Friday morning in federal court when U.S. District Court Judge Clifford Green ordered withdrawal of a permit for a march, February 25th, by a mysterious individual identifying himself as the leader of a Nazi party. The National Park Service, which had issued the permit for the march at Independence Mall to a James Gutman on February 20th, followed through on Green's orders by canceling the permit, largely because they claimed they tried to reach out and he wasn't available. Like they couldn't, they tried to find out more information. It says, I think I might say it right here. Officials said Gutman had listed, either way, the point was it didn't happen. They revoked it because they, you know, he doesn't seem to be the person they thought he was. Officials said Gutman had listed a P.O. box as his address. And the name, interestingly enough, of a Frank Collin, leader of a Nazi group in Chicago, which is relevant for the next point, obtained worldwide publicity last year when he announced plans to stage a march in Skokie, Illinois, and switched it to a rally in Chicago. Collin was reported to have said he never heard of Gorman and that there was no Nazi party in Philadelphia. So just for this point, you'll see where this is relevant next. Realize, first of all, As he told you in the other video, James Gutman is actually Mordecai Levy. What this article is finding out is that the investigation found that the P.O. box that Gutman, who was actually Mordecai Levy, was using, was also used by a person called Frank Collin, who, interestingly enough, was also pretending to be a Nazi leader, who also tried to carry one out in Skokie, Illinois, which next we'll talk about. But down here it says, the shadowy alleged Nazi may be an individual using a student identification card lost by a Belgian music student, Michael Gutman, who lived in New York, which doesn't seem to be the case. But the point is, we couldn't figure out who he was. The information seems to suggest that he's lying about who he is, but that's why it ultimately got pulled back because we don't, you know, we're being tricked, whatever. So that's the public sentiment. You know, even the narrative is that this was, you know, fishy about who he really was. Before we get into the New York Times proving to you that his name is Mordecai Levy in a very different way, this was an article on June 22nd, 2018. Interestingly enough, pointing back to the Charlottesville 2017 march in the context of Nazis. Isn't that interesting? Even though it technically was a neo-Nazi element of the Azov movement arm, which is funded by Israel, which is the whole same point. This is what it says. Skokie, Illinois. It's saying the legacy of the would-be Nazi march. It says, but while the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville, just make sure that's what we're talking about, says, which was one woman dead, which left one woman dead, maybe the most recent example of such hate, it wasn't the first time neo-Nazis came in force in America. It says 40 years ago in the Chicago suburb of Skokie, Illinois, a planned Nazi march through a town full of Holocaust survivors. Interesting choice, right? Led to a years-long battle over religious liberties and the strength of the Constitution. So this is where always the classical arguments from the government to come from as well, you know, because technically you're right. They have the constitutional right to express the march and speak their opinion. It's First Amendment, right? It is, even today. I'm going to make a point about that again in a minute, where I think it's provable that U.S. government is using that as an illusion. But the point, first of all, again, remember that we're talking about James Gutman, right? Who's not, that's not his real name. His real name is Mordecai Levy, who also just turned out to be using a P.O. box who happened to have also been historically before this used by a Frank Collin, who interestingly was also a leader, at least stated publicly, of a Nazi group who tried to march through Skokie, Illinois. This is the same story. Separate points, both tie back to the same P.O. box used by James Gutman or Frank Collin, who both are Mordecai Levy. Okay. And the point is that this is the story that, you know, your corporate media with their garbage research are just going, oh yeah, Nazi's bad. And here's a story about the bad guy who tried to do it here and over here. But guess what? It's not who he is. Obviously, because there's two different names using the same P.O. box, right? Both of them pretending to be Nazi march leaders. Both of them pretending to be Nazi leaders. Both of them trying to create chaos, to make public, very clear statements, marching right through Holocaust survivors. I mean, there's a reason that's the point, right? Get this. Here's the New York Times in their archive from 1979, February 23rd, Philadelphia. The National Park Service today, so this is the one story in Philadelphia, withdrew the permit granted for a Nazi rally at Independence Mall. Same point. It says the permit was withdrawn when the man who received it, identified as James Gutman, could not be found to testify. That was the point that I was saying before, right? Because they had issues about it. They revoked it. Here's what the New York Times found. Court testimony yesterday suggested that the man identified as James Gutman may have been using a stolen identification card when he sought the permit. The Philadelphia police said that another man, identified as Mordecai Levy, had once been arrested in New York using that information card. That's not too hard to put together, guys. Mr. Levy had been associated, per the Philadelphia police, the New York Times, with the Jewish Defense League. You see how interesting it is that these separate pieces of information can be put together and realized that you can suddenly you see the full picture. Mordecai Levy, who was part of the Jewish Defense League, which even at the time, even today, is regarded as extreme. Like the AD, that was like a spinoff of the ADL, which became like an actual like militia organization that carried out terrorist acts. The point is, Mordecai Levy, who's part of the Jewish Defense League, was pretending to be both, where's the name? Oh, sorry, here. Pretending to be both Frank Collin, but also James Gutman, and connected through this P.O. box that he used both of them. And through the Skokie, Illinois attempts, you can see there, but also in Philadelphia. And here you can find that he, Mordecai Levy, was using the same identity card for both. So it all got tied back to him. Very interesting. And it says, and of course the New York Times article writes, you know, cites one of the lawyers there who says, I'm very upset and angry at the attempts to jingle this around and blame Jews. Well, it turns out that it was a Jewish Defense League spy or whatever you want to call it, Mordecai Levy, who was pretending to be a Nazi to march and point back at it and say, look at how much Nazis there are of anti-Semitism. That is the reality of at least this. How many things you think it connects to today? Here's another article. ADL provocateurs at work inciting Nazi rallies. February 1979, Mordecai Levy, a paid operative of Irwin Saul's ADL fact-finding division, used the alias James Gutman to obtain a rally permit from the National Park Police. Right? This is all very important stuff, and the reality is this is the ADL. Pretending, or rather creating what they point at as what justifies their presence. Here's Wikipedia. Here's Mordecai Levy. He's a U.S.-based political activist and founder of the Militant Jewish Defense Organization, a breakaway faction of the Jewish Defense League. Okay, so one more removed step. ADL, Jewish Defense League, which became the Jewish Defense Organization, which was the militant element. David Tell of the Weekly Standard wrote that the group is, quote, located at the farthest shadowy margins of American public life. Think about that. Levy has organized a paramilitary training camp located in New York. Named after, interesting, where was, oh, that's right. McCullough LeBed was set up in New York. Interesting, right? Think about the different overlaps of New York City and how much that ties together. But the reality being that this seems to be a common thread. This is after the revisionist Zionist leader, Vladimir Jabotinsky. He's named after him. And there's connections with him directly tying back to the work they're doing. And he says Levy first came to public attention after he was arrested in 1981 on a charge of firebombing a Nigerian diplomat's car. Like, this is not hard to wrap your mind around, guys. And you can look further down here, right, where it gets into, you know, he's arrested. He was charged with four counts of attempted murder at the charges. I mean, this is a guy who literally is a prominent element at this time in the United States. And to show you the next guy, Jabotinsky. It was a revisionist Zionist leader, right? Showing you that all of this ties back to the origins of Zionism. Later, he established several Jewish organizations, including the militant organization Irgun, which is, again, the extremist elements that go back to the beginning. And then the point here was he was born in Odessa or modern Ukraine. The Zionist aspect goes back to that in a very interesting way. Lastly, this one wasn't something. I forgot I was just going to close this one. Oh, no, this was it. Yeah, this is 1991. So this brings it all the way forward to show you this person was continuing these actions. The leader of the militant Jewish defense organization, Mordecai Levy, has been released from jail on $35,000 bail pending appeal of his conviction on an assault charge stemming from a shooting 2 years ago from New York's Greenwich Village. Apparently, he tried to shoot somebody out of his window because he was calling him out. Like, this was the divide between the extreme Zionist elements and the people that are otherwise involved with Israel, or rather specifically the Jewish Defense League. And tried to shoot him because the point is these people were extreme. They were crazy. And they seemingly won out. Here's another one. This is from the New York Times as well. Head of Jewish group was arrested in murder case. Can you guess who we're talking about? Jewish Defense League. It's just amazing. And again, bringing this all the way back to the beginning, or the point, you can prove this guy who works for these groups, that every countless sources right back to the very leagues groups we're talking about, who was caught faking a Nazi march in two locations. Now, what do you think about these today? Doesn't that change your perception a little bit about what this might be? On the weird, same exact clothing and like, and if you listen to what they're actually saying, like if you literally wrote down what you thought Israel would pretend to be as Nazi, I mean, it's comical. These people are ridiculous. So we'll leave it there. Generally, getting this information out there is all I truly care about. So thank you for having the courage to do that. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
To thank Israel. I'm serious. Before you get mad at me, you all need to thank Israel. Thank you, Israel. Not for killing over 4,000 Palestinian children in the last month. Not for indiscriminately bombing Gaza. And not even for subjecting Palestinians to more than 75 years of violence. But thank you for opening our eyes. I've always been pro-Palestine. My parents taught me to stand for what's right. But I got caught up in life and forgot what really matters. So, thank you for reminding the world that every life is sacred. That in 2023, there is no space for settler colonialism. Thank you for showing the world that you openly, proudly, and consistently commit crimes against humanity and are happy subjecting the Palestinian people you haven't already killed or forced to flee to inhumane conditions. Because of you, the world is changing. The tables are turning, and the side of Palestine and humanity is stronger than ever. Free Palestine.